The argument that creative management exists is not fully resolved. It's propositional, but it's also building on, I would say, an increasing wave in management literature that started in the 90s. There are some key names like Jane Henry and Haggart in the Netherlands, who formulated the notion that somehow management on its own was about managing a situation in one direction, whereas creative management naturally involved, I think by implication, the possibility that the institution and its leaders, as well as the workforce, would be changed by the process of thinking afresh. One of the factors about the museum's kind of field, really, is that change isn't something that is embraced with great comfort by them. I think probably change has been, to an extent, forced upon them rather than generated internally. And to an extent, that's come primarily from government in terms of requirements associated with funding packages. But change has also come from outside government in terms of other rivals and competition, really, within the leisure sector generally. Museums are very firmly placed in that in terms of the viewing public, I believe. So in that sense, change has been something that they've had to embrace. I also think that technology has played a key role in terms of how museums create their exhibition narratives and environments. And so to that extent, the opportunities and challenges provided by technology has required a greater kind of turnaround of activity and decision-making within museums. Museums have to react increasingly quickly to the expectations of a whole different range of audience groups. There is no longer one audience. When I said it was propositional, that's not the same thing as saying that it doesn't exist. It's propositional in the sense that its limits and its edges may be hard to define, but evidence of somehow it being in practice, I think, can be discerned. I noticed that a key sort of signal that indicated the presence of a kind of creative management attitude was the emphasis on democratic dialogue, where the voice of other people in the institution or organisation became as important as those leading it, and that there was an active desire to involve people's feelings, actually, about their workplace and the system in which they're working. One of the reasons why I was particularly interested to explore this in relation to cultural institutions is that the notion of creativity is something that they have to deal with all the time. And I thought, well, if there was any sort of lessons to be learned about creative management, could they be learned in a sort of very apt way from the artistic community and their engagement with institutional structures, i.e. museums in this case, or art centres, as I was looking at. At Tate Modern, I was looking at the team that had produced the Tate Modern Rehang this year, which was a seminal moment in the institution's history. And what characterised the work of the Tate Modern displays delivery team was a deliberate emphasis on democratic dialogue and, in a way, sort of conceptual dialogue about what the showing of art and art history was about. The leader of the team, Francis Morris, was very clear about setting out the opportunity to some very different kinds of authorial voices within the institution. This was kind of both a risky enterprise, and that itself, I think, is one of the defining features of creative management, is that you embrace risk in a deliberate way, and also a very productive exercise. What came from the plan that was selected was a recognition on the part of Frances Morris, the team leader, that the best way she could harness the energies of all of those involved in the team was to delegate certain rooms or suites within the hang to individual teams, so that there was a sense of ownership and authorship within that individual sector.
Creative management seems like it's a way of harnessing the collective intelligence of everyone who's in your organisation.
One of the great challenges, I think, for cultural institutions everywhere, but also in the UK, I think particularly maybe, is the challenge that creative management offers the organisational structure. That what it requires on the part of, and this doesn't just relate to the arts world, but it requires on the part of those who manage institutions and organisations with hierarchical structures, is that they must engage with the notion of freedom, that they must be prepared to be turned upside down. And while that's, you know, that's quite a threat to most managers, if it's managed paradoxically, you stand to gain a lot. And it's that, if there's almost one definition or defining intentionality to creative management, it's the preparedness to be transformed in unexpected ways. One of the things that's really key is for middle and senior managers to be much more committed to, actually, the notion of real democratic dialogue within their workforce. One of the key things I noticed from each of the case studies I was working on was that there was always one subversive person within each of the teams I was analysing who would always question the precepts of the senior manager. And it was the delicate, sometimes, balance with which their position was negotiated with the senior manager that I think would determine the success of that act of subversiveness or not. So in a way, it's about, I suppose, creative management is about acknowledging your in-house terrorist. So in fact, the sort of free thinking that I think does define the role of being an artist does offer a very useful model for organisations who might be, you know, making orange juice.